Welcome back to U Conversations, where we have science-based, health-focused conversations with University of Connecticut Doctor of Physical Therapy students. I am Dr. Christina Colon-Semenza. I'm a physical therapist and an assistant professor here in the UConn DPT program, as we like to refer to it. And I'm excited to welcome today Jackie, Brittany, Emily, and Josh, who will be sharing with us a bit about their chosen topic, which was smartwatches' effect on health promotion and physical activity. So within our health, wellness, and prevention class, all of the students were able to choose from any topics that they wanted on health and wellness. So I want to know for you guys, of all the topics out there, how and why did you land on this topic of smartwatches' effect on health promotion and physical activity? So Jackie, do you want to start us off?
I'd love to. Oh, yeah. So my name is Jackie. I'm from Southington, Connecticut. I'm a second year DPT student, as Dr. C mentioned. And for me, I've always worn an Apple Watch. I loved it in undergrad. I worked at a gym and I was tracking my steps by 6 a.m. But I know this doesn't exactly work for everyone. So for example, my mom's on a recent fitness journey. My dad got her an Apple Watch, and the same Apple Watch has been sitting on the counter for four months now.
No. That's an expensive thing to just sit on the countertop.
So that kind of drove me to look into why it works for some people and why it doesn't work for others. That's a little bit of what I'll be talking about later on today.
Awesome. Brittany.
Yeah, so I did my undergrad degree in allied health sciences, so I also have an interest in health promotion.
Yeah.
And for the running watch aspect, I had it all in high school, but just for running. And I'm someone who really only uses it for exercise, and I know I'm not using it to its full potential. And sometimes I like the freedom to just exercise without tracking, so I'm trying to find a balance of like using it and finding kind of the purpose.
Okay, so then do you have just like a regular old like digital watch that you wear when you're not using your running watch?
I used to, but I recently just got a new one. So I think I was inspired by this to kind of see the kind of benefits of having a watch.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Awesome. Emily.
Yeah, so I'm Emily, also a second year DPT student, and I've been wearing an Apple Watch probably, I want to say 7 or 8 years now.
Oh, wow. So you're an early adopter.
Yes, every day I wear it, and sometimes when I'm not wearing it, I look at my wrist anyway, and then there's nothing there. So it's very hard for me to go without it. I use it to track my workouts. I like the Apple Watch feature where you can kind of select what workout you're doing, and it kind of uses that information to track all of your, like, your exercise minutes, your calories, and stuff like that. So yeah, just interested to talk about the social aspect of it as well, because I share my information with my family, my friends, and I think that's a kind of a cool feature of the smartwatch.
Awesome. Okay. So social benefits. Go ahead, Josh. Why did you choose this topic?
Yeah. So I, like Brittany talked about school, I studied public health. And so I think talking about that and investigating that more in the community is really interesting. But also I've worn a Garmin for the last like 6 or 7 years. I ran in high school and I ran distance in college. And so that's how I've kind of tracked my distance, tracked my training. And then like Emily talked about using the social aspect on Strava, on Garmin Connect with friends. And so just wanted to investigate further in the research and in discussion with other people about how they use this technology.
Cool. So I am really interested in this topic and hope to learn some more myself today, because I had a Fitbit that I absolutely loved, but it recently broke down. And so I'm in the market right now to understand, do I just want to get a basic Fitbit? Should I get something more advanced? I'm hesitant to get an Apple Watch. I don't want to see my text messages on my wrist. I want to have some separation between me and my technology. So I'm really conflicted and unsure about where to go in terms of what to get to best fit my needs, both in terms of telling the time, as well as helping to manage my health and wellness and physical activity. So I'm really excited to learn some more from you guys today. What can our listeners expect?
So I think over the next 15 to 20 minutes, as we discuss, we're going to be really investigating overall the pros and cons of smartwatch technology as it relates to physical activity.
Okay, so the pros and cons of the smartwatches and how it relates to physical activity. Okay. So I'm interested to learn. Hopefully I'll have a better informed decision by the end of this episode, and hopefully our listeners will as well. So who's going to start us off?
I'm going to start off just with a little bit of an audio clip from a TED Talk given by Chris Wharton, where he's talking about the importance of exercise and the benefits of exercise. And he is a certified personal trainer for professional athletes, and he also works with celebrities in England. And this is a clip from his TED Talk at the Seven Oaks. And I'll let you guys have a listen, and then we can discuss it.
I want you to imagine a groundbreaking new medicine, a single pill that taken once a day would make you live a longer and happier life. Not only that, this pill would make you stronger. It would profoundly increase your energy levels, your mood, your brain function, and your concentration. In fact, this pill would outperform every other known medicine for improving overall markers of health. It would be a groundbreaking revelation. It would change the face of medicine as we know it. Sounds pretty good, right? Now, luckily for all of us, this miracle medicine already exists, and it's called exercise.
Yeah, I don't know a miracle drug, anything like what he was talking about with exercise. No other medication can do everything that exercise can do.
And it's funny because I often give talks on exercise, physical activity, and the management of neurodegenerative diseases, which is my area of research. And I often do something similar, not quite maybe as impressive as he is in his TED talk, but I do this thing to say to my audience members, like, what if there was something out there that could make your mood better, your sleep better, your bones stronger, make you live longer, reduce your risk of diseases, right? And the list goes on and on and on with little to no side effects, right? So we know it. We know it. We really know it as physical therapists. This is our bread and butter. But still not everybody does it, right? So yeah, let's hear about what smartwatches can do to help people use this magical intervention of exercise.
Yeah, so we'll begin talking about like the impacts on how smartwatches improve or try to improve physical activity. And yeah. So by starting off, I just want to mention the difference between physical activity and exercise.
Perfect.
And so physical activity just involves movement and using energy. So those could be things like something like going for a walk or going downstairs, getting your laundry, moving about your house and doing some chores such as that. Whereas exercise is more structured with the intent of trying to improve your physical performance and what we call aerobic capacity.
So I often have this discussion with my mom when I ask her if she's exercised today. She'll say, yes, I ironed shirts for your father. Or I went to Walmart. So is she right? Is that her exercise?
That would be more physical activity because it's just moving throughout the day. It's not necessarily structured and intentional like exercise is.
Okay.
Such as, like for me after this, wanting to go for a run, that would be more based on exercise.
Okay, so it's planned, it's structured with the intent of improving a health system.
Yes.
Okay, so right, so what I often tell my mom when she asks me that question is like, great, mom, I'm glad that you weren't sitting on the couch all day long. That's awesome. That's wonderful. And that has its own set of health benefits. But beyond that, to garner all these other benefits of what was talked about in that TED talk, right, you really have to engage in this planned, purposeful, repetitive, with the intent of improving a health system. That is exercise. So at best, we have both going on. Yep.
Yeah.
But there's a distinction between the two. So that's really useful, I think, for everybody to be clear on.
Yeah. Just as we use the language, people can know the difference.
Perfect. Great. Thank you, Josh.
Yeah. And then also, I wanted to talk about recommendations that are out there as well for people that do or for people that don't know. So we have the American College of Sports Medicine, and then also the CDC put out recommendations, which is for the weak, moderate to vigorous level of exercise, which would be rated as like a 5 out of 10 to like an 8 out of 10. That's to be 150 minutes per week. And then also it discusses a recommendation of strength training being 2 days a week. Strength training being things like push-ups, resistance training in the gym, squats, bench press, things like that.
Perfect. So that's really useful. And in a lot of our episodes in this season, we've talked about these recommendations. So I think it would be useful on our website. We can link the American College of Sports Medicine's resource and the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, link those resources on those recommendations. So if people forget, what did Josh say? How many minutes of what?
Yeah.
Right? That they can be able to refer back to see exactly what those recommendations are. And those recommendations are based on a really strong foundation of science to help us know that once you hit these cutoff levels, that this is when we see all these health benefits really coming into play.
Exactly. And giving examples like we've talked about here a little bit and the website would as well, which is important for some people to know.
Great.
So back to what we've investigated in terms of increasing physical activity, there's a concept of accountability that's important that helps promote this. So accountability being like someone taking responsibility for their commitments and for their actions is something that we would think of for that. And so there was a research study done in 2018 that looked at people who are breast cancer survivors with a 12-week intervention, and they were wearing, I believe it was Fitbit.
Okay.
And they wanted to see the driving force of physical activity, and it ended up being the accountability. So by the researchers seeing what the participants were doing,
yep,
they found that that was what really promoted the physical activity, not actually having access to the information for the participants themselves.
Interesting. So that's similar to some findings that we found in some of my research. And as you all know, but our audience doesn't know, I focus on the use of exercise and physical activity in the management of neurodegenerative diseases. And in a study that I was involved in, we were looking at the use of mobile health technology versus kind of the standard pen and paper ways to exercise. And one group did have a Fitbit and did have kind of this high-tech app, and the other group was just using a pen and paper calendar, but they had to mail in their pen and paper calendar to the researchers, whereas the other group, the information was coming in remotely. But in other words, both groups knew that the researchers were watching their physical activity. There's that accountability that you're talking about. Yes. And so we hypothesized that the high-tech group was going to do better with their physical activity. And in the end, both groups did equally well because they had that accountability that you're talking about. So another study kind of backing up or finding similar results as this study that you're talking about, that accountability seems to be a key component to getting people to becoming more physically active.
I would definitely agree. And then there's also components of like sharing information on apps. And so I think I mentioned earlier, like Strava and Garmin Connect. So those are some that I use. There's also Fitbit itself has their own app. And that's another component of that accountability.
Yep.
You have your exercise, people see what you do.
Sure. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So not necessarily the watch itself maybe being the causal agent or the mechanism, right? The mediating factor for change, but the fact that there's a greater level of accountability when you're using the smartwatch might be what is the driver.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, cool. What else you got for us?
Yeah, I think going off of the accountability piece that Josh just talked about, there's also like very similar in a similar way, like the social aspect of it. Like when you share your data on Apple Watch or Fitbit, like with your family members or with your friends, you can also compete against them if you want, but you can also just share your information. So you can say like, oh, well, let me see like how much exercise my mom's done today or my sister, because my sister doesn't live in state. So it's kind of a good way to like kind of keep up with what she's doing that day. I kind of see like, oh, has she had a chance to go on a walk today, or what's she up to?
Sure.
And my mom also uses like the competition feature of the Apple Watch. Mm. She has friends that live all over the country, and she kind of competes against them each week. So it's like, how many exercise minutes can you do? How many calories can you burn? And it kind of ranks you in like almost a leaderboard format.
Yeah.
For some people that can be really motivating to say like, oh, I'm on the top of the leaderboard this week.
Right.
But then I also think that there are some caveats that you can get a little bit too into like the numbers and like winning that week, if you will. So I remember one night I came home and I was looking for my mom. It was like 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dad, like, where's mom? She's like, oh, she's in the basement walking on the treadmill. She was like 10 minutes behind and she wanted to win this week. So I'm like, okay,
I don't know about that.
Was a little bit,
Well, it was clearly motivating.
Yes, clearly an extra motivator for my mom. And I think a lot of people can share that, like wanting to win, wanting to just push your friends and your family to maybe be more active through that feature.
Yep.
So I think that can be a really great thing. It can also maybe put too much focus on the numbers and maybe not how you're feeling or how it's impacting your overall health and just wanting to win.
Right. But there is definitely something about that related to having a goal, right? Yes. So clearly your mom's goal was to be number one.
Yes.
Right. I know my husband, similarly, every day wants to get his 10,000 steps. And so same thing at the end of the night, if he hasn't hit that number, he's doing laps around the house, right, to get to at least 10,000. And I try to explain to him, it's like, okay, well, those numbers, yes, while they are important, if you're at 9,569, it doesn't mean that your health is going to fall downhill at that point, right? So these are numbers and statistics, and yes, it's good to have goals, but we don't have to be so dogmatic about them.
Correct.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. And there's a lot of other numbers and tracking that you can do with smartwatches, and smartwatches kind of emphasize that gamifying. So gamifying just means like adding points, rules, winners, losers, kind of what Emily was talking about. But they also have exercise streaks, hitting goals like you were talking about, and meeting monthly milestones, which are a great way to increase physical activity. I know for myself, I love when I can see like day 30 out of 30, or that's your personal best, especially for running, because that was a big driver. Like, that was your fastest 5K. And I'm like, wow, that's so nice to see.
Right,
like,
right.
In real time.
Otherwise, how would you know?
Yeah, an instant boost for me.
Great. Okay. So gamification, getting some of that immediate feedback, it sounds like, can be motivators as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I guess my question is, where is the, what's the fine line where one group of people is going for goals, but one group of people might be a little too obsessed?
Yeah, so that would start to get into some of the concerns with smartwatches. There's certain people who you may have to stay clear from some of the nitty-gritties of the health data. There's some research that it was a case study, so it's only one person, but she developed some health anxiety related to seeing the health data, specifically for heart-related things. She has a heart condition, and she would check her watch 916 times over a one-year period and went to the ER 12 times because she got so obsessed with this health data.
Wow.
So you just kind of have to be aware of who you are, and if you get anxiety from health data, that might be something to stay clear from.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is important to know about yourself, and maybe even important for us as healthcare practitioners to know about who to recommend this for and not to recommend this for. So how would an individual know if they are prone to health anxiety?
So that might be something you would have to talk with your doctor or a healthcare provider that you trust and get their input on if this is an appropriate resource for you. So that's something to look into.
For sure. Okay. Yeah, that's useful.
And while we're on that topic, directly related to that case study, I have a clip from a certified family medicine doctor. He's very popular on social media, and he does a lot of public health kind of information. So I'll include that now.
Yesterday, I was in the office. A gentleman comes in who has a history of SVT, which is a type of fast heart rhythm that exists. And he said that after that happened to him once, he got an Apple Watch to start tracking when this happens. But here's the interesting part. He knows when it's happening. He can feel it. He can feel the palpitations. He has the skills and the techniques necessary how to shut it down. And it happens very rarely. But he still got the Apple Watch. Now, the Apple Watch started warning him after he played squash that he would have high heart rates. And he started getting anxious. And then he started getting worse outcomes with his heart rhythms.
No.
So you see how the tech is fire. It works. It tracks things. But what we do with that information is really problematic, because until we get some guidance and we gather enough data to actually make use of it, more data just means more health anxiety, more weird interventions that we don't even know if they work or not.
Dr. Mike brings up a great point about data overload and some of the lack of research on the accuracy of health data from smartwatches and kind of how smartwatches should be used. Kind of take the information with a grain of salt in that aspect.
So we have that one case study that is separate from the case that Dr. Mike is talking about. So we have two case studies, basically, of people who are dealing with health anxiety related to overload of data related to their smartwatches. Okay, so that's interesting. I don't think that this is really well talked about. We're all often talking about and touting all the benefits of smartwatches. I think this is really useful for our listeners to understand that there might be some drawbacks and to be aware of these if they might fall into this category.
Yeah, and I think another big factor that plays into it, I know when I was doing research, I came across some challenges with using smartwatches and why everyone, like I said earlier, doesn't adopt and hop on the smartwatch trend. And one of these issues is health privacy. So health privacy, and especially among older generations, is a huge concern. So like with any technology, like when you get your iPhone and you get your watch, when you set it up, one of the first things you do is agree to a terms and conditions page.
Yes, I hate that.
And I think I can speak for everyone when I say no one reads it. I don't read it.
Right.
Too many pages.
Right.
Better things to do.
Yes. Just click the box. Just check off the check mark.
Yeah, but so what does it mean when you're pressing I agree? So actually pressing the button gives the company consent to share its data for marketing purposes, sell it to third-party companies. And so for me, this brings up two major points. One is, this data is technically health information, right? So it has basic information about your height, your weight, your sex, heart rate, and this tracks this information over time. So in any other medical setting, so like in our PT clinics in the hospital, this information would be protected under the HIPAA Act. And for those that don't know, it's the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And so this is the reason why you need to give consent if you're sharing medical records, that all records need to be through a secure portal. And so why, I guess my question is, why is smartwatch information the exception, right?
Well, to be clear though, so with the smartwatch information, although you're absolutely right, Jackie, they are taking my height, weight, my steps, my heart rate, my name is not attached to it, right? And so that's likely the big difference. Like, it doesn't say Christina Colon Semenza's resting heart rate is 60 beats per minute, right? So it's de-identifying my name from my data, but it's still my data, right?
It still is, absolutely.
Right, and I should have more control over it than maybe what is going on currently when I check off that box and don't think about it.
Exactly, yeah. And then this brings another good point up is, I found this term in some of the research I was doing. It's called the privacy personalization paradox. And this term basically says that people love customization, right? We go to Chipotle because we can customize their burrito bowls. We love when we have control over things.
Yeah, and personalized medicine is a real focus right now, that it's precision medicine that's totally tailored to you, Jackie, or to me, Christina, based in our genotype or phenotype. So yeah, personalization is a big trend and focus.
Exactly. I know, especially in physical therapy, there's such a huge emphasis on individualizing your treatment for the person in front of you, making it personalized so that they may benefit from it.
Right.
But there's a fine line between customizing your experience and sharing your personal information, because all these apps, they do need your personal information to give you that customized creative experience.
Okay.
So I think smartwatches are really kind of towing a fine line between, you know, what's private and what's customizable, and how do we kind of balance that and deal with that with our participants.
Okay.
So I guess that's why a lot of people are not hopping on the smartwatch trend, is they don't want to worry about where their health data is going, who has access to it.
Okay. All right. That is useful to think about some of these considerations that maybe people aren't considering when they just go and get that Fitbit or Apple Watch, just put it on their wrist and they check off the box and aren't considering these other privacy issues.
Absolutely.
And there's definitely some people who are hesitant about getting a smartwatch, but they are very popular right now. About 1 in 5 people have a smartwatch from a Pew Research study in 2019. So that was surprising to me, because I thought it was kind of like a new thing, but it's very popular right now. And I'm hoping this isn't going to be one of those new and exciting quick fixes where people hop on the train and then leave it on their kitchen counter. Like hoverboards and fad diets and smoothie machines, you know, things come and go. And I've had technology in the past where I'm like, oh, this is so much fun. And then you get it and then you use it intensely for like a month or something. And then you're like, huh, I'm kind of done with this.
Right.
I hope that's not the case for smartwatches.
Yeah. And some of the data and research that I've seen related to this is that there is this novelty that quickly wears off, but something that does sustain it is related to what you guys talked about previously, was integrating it with social connection.
Yeah,
is that when you can integrate this new technology or smartwatches, activity trackers, with social connection, there seems to be longer term use and adherence to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually found a similar study, a 90-day study about using smartwatches, tracked how long they're wearing it for, and they eventually started to stop using the smartwatches because of battery life issues and technical problems and just frustration.
Right.
But I think with the technology improving over time, and you can kind of step over those barriers, such as the technical problems, and you can really engage with the social features, I think people will be more willing to not let this be a trend and more of a long term solution.
Yeah, and I think as we're seeing integration of these devices into our healthcare system, I think that will also help to sustain the use, that if our healthcare practitioners and get useful health information through them to help inform our health and wellness, then it will also lead to longer term adoption, right? Related to that accountability that we started off talking about with Josh, is that if you know someone's looking at it, then maybe you're more likely to engage with it, mm-hmm. as opposed to just having the data yourself that you might get bored and think, eh, what's this for?
Yeah.
If there's a greater reason or greater good for it, it might sustain it. Okay, so we talked about a lot today. So yes, there's a lot to talk about. And so I can give you guys my summary and my thoughts and ideas is that smartwatches, there's a lot of pros and there are some considerations that we need to consider as well. So it seems like smartwatches can help to increase physical activity. We have some evidence for that, but it likely works through a mechanism with accountability or socialization, whether that socialization is social comparison, like comparing yourself to others, a leaderboard, or social connection, like connecting with your sister when she's several states away, or competition. Gamification is another method that can be used to help sustain the use of activity trackers and help to increase your physical activity. And then on the con side, there are issues related to privacy that maybe we're releasing too much of that health information without really thinking about it, or that there might be something related to data overload and health anxiety that people aren't considering can be a drawback. Mm-hmm. So pros and cons to consider. Did I miss anything? What am I missing?
That covers pretty much the main features of the pros and cons. Mm-hmm. And what we want the listeners to recognize is how smartwatches fit into your own personal health needs and also your financial budget. Mm. And if this might be something that will motivate you to exercise. So some things is you have to take in consideration some personal factors before, because they are expensive, like we talked about. And if you know you're not going to use it, maybe look into another source, but smartwatches could be the solution if it's within your budget and you know it will be appropriate for you.
Okay. So did you guys come across any research to help make consumers make a decision between which one is best for them? Like there are so many out there. Josh, you talked about Garmin. You guys talked about Apple Watch. We talked about Fitbit. I'm sure there's others that we haven't mentioned. Did you guys come across anything in helping people to decide which of all of these different ones is the right one for them?
I don't know if we came across any specific source, but what we've talked about here is there are different hallmark features to each one. And so I think Fitbit is a really good place to start that has, you know, activity level. It has step count. That's what my mom started with. And then she ended up moving up to a Garmin, which is what I use. And so I think Garmin is really great. There's also a resource called Whoop, which is more what I've seen, I think, in like the professional distance running scene as part of it. And so that's more in like aerobic training. And then you have Apple Watch as another big one that, like you said, you don't really want notifications on yours.
Right.
And so that's more of a connectivity to your phone.
Right.
And so I think just recognizing those hallmark features for each piece of technology is a big factor, along with cost.
And then just to add to the iPhone or the Apple Watch piece of it, for somebody who has like maybe cardiac concerns, I know the Apple Watch has a little bit like maybe more technologically advanced features. Like you can do an EKG on your smartwatch. I'm not sure about the other watches, but that's the only one I know that does an EKG. You can actually have that data like sent to your cardiologist or your primary care. So if that's like another one of your concerns, like that might be a better option.
Yeah, I believe that even is a feature on the newer Fitbit
as well. Okay.
As well. So yeah, I think it might be useful if you guys can find some resources to help people locate those sources of information to help them decide on which one might be right for them. We can add that onto the website to help people figure out which one is right for them.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. Well, any other closing thoughts or statements from you guys?
We did just want to thank you for co-hosting this podcast and engaging in this conversation that we're really passionate about talking about. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you. So thank you, Josh, Emily, Brittany, and Jackie for all of your research and for chatting about this really important topic with us today. This has been really useful for me to help consider, do I want to get that Fitbit again? Do I want an Apple Watch? Do I want to get a Garmin? I'm not sure. I'm still researching, but it did give me lots of points to consider and things to research further to help me make that informed decision about what is right for my health and wellness. So we hope it was helpful for you, and we hope that you'll join us for another episode of You Conversations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.